Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks again.
If you could get used to hearing this from your customers, you should use Australia Post to deliver to them. Because when they receive their delivery quickly, securely, and at a time and place that suits them, they won't thank us, they'll thank you. Your customers will thank you for using Australia Post. Go to auspost.com.au/forbusiness to find out more.
I'm Dr. Theo Spirakis from Bexley Dental, and I can give you back your smile. With the all-on-4 dental procedure, I can put an end to broken and missing teeth and uncomfortable dentures. Book your free all-on-4 consultation now at bexleydental.com.au.
And now on Nights with Steve Price, the Memory Health Show, brought to you by Suvenate. See memorydrink.com.au for more information.
Yes, indeed, Tuesday night, one of the most important half hours that we do during the week. Thanks to our great sponsors, Suvenate. We're talking about dementia tonight through the perspective of a GP. We're lucky to have a general practitioner in the studio with us, Dr. Damien Flanagan. Great to have you on board. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here.
And we have our mate, Associate Professor Mark Yates, of course, is a consultant physician in geriatric medicine and Director of Clinical Studies at the Ballarat Clinical School of Deakin University. Associate Professor Yates, did you survive the winter morning in Ballarat today?
It was pretty chilly. The ice got on the windscreen and all the cars down in the valley. But up on the hill, we're always a bit warmer.
We can't complain. It is the middle of winter. We're going to talk in a moment about Suvenate and that as a treatment option. But we thought we'd invite calls tonight on 131873. If you are going through the issue at home at the moment with someone who is going through the issues of dementia, we'd love to hear how you're coping with that. Give us a call on 131873. Talk about what it's like to deal with someone in your home, or maybe it's a parent that you're caring for who's going through the issues of dementia. We'd love to hear how you're coping. 131873 is our number. And now, Mark, I guess we would say that one of the first ports of call would be with a GP, right?
Oh, absolutely, Steve. I think the evidence is that almost 90% of the first presentations of concern about memory and thinking change is presented to general practice.
So when you get somebody who comes and sees you, Dr. Flanagan, Damien, what's the typical question?
Well, people usually are a little bit nervous about the diagnosis or the potential of a diagnosis like dementia. So they usually ask questions around the issue. You know, they tell you what their symptoms might be. It might be things like their memory is a little bit poor. They're losing their way, perhaps around the town that they know very well. So those are sort of the initial questions, but often it's not the patient themselves that start the conversation. It might be the carer or a relative or even a third party might come with the patient and start the conversation. So there's many different roads or journeys that may occur at the first consultation. So it's very, very different for everybody who presents.
Is there a couple of alarm bells that would go off for you where you would go, okay, this is where we've now got to go because it appears that's the road we're going down?
I think the key one is certainly the memory loss, and that's the one that the patients seem to pick up the most and the families seem to pick up the most. But then it goes into sort of the areas of daily living, the functionality that the patient may be losing. Things like inability to do their banking, inability to hold a conversation. There may be even some behavioural changes that are being noticed, or subtle personality changes.
If you're going through this and you've got this scenario playing out at your place, give us a call on 131873. We'd love to talk you through it. The other thing, I guess, would be driving impairment. Would that be another one you'd pick up?
That's a huge issue, Stephen. It's often that's brought up by the third parties rather than the patient themselves. So you may get a tip-off either from even your reception staff who notice the patient trying to park or leave the parking area at the back of your surgery, maybe the odd dint in a fellow patient's car or something. But sometimes even the carers have that concern, or even occasionally the police may contact you about a particular concern. In fact, I had a phone call only last week from a policeman in regards to a potential issue in one of my patients. So that's certainly a big concern. It's not one that I sort of get first up often. And I think if we sort of went to bat with the issue of driving, you'd probably lose the patient because it's a big issue. And if you start talking about taking someone's license off them, it's quite a big hit to their own independence.
I bring it up, Mark and Damien, someone I know who has a mother in the mid-80s, had a minor accident in a shopping centre car park just last weekend, turned right into what she thought was the driving lane and collided with a bunch of shopping trolleys that were queued up on the other side there, which seems an odd thing to do in a shopping centre. I mean, yes, you can get a bit confused in a shopping centre car park, but should that be a little bit of a warning?
Look, it could be. It certainly might be a feature of a dementia process, but it could just be that the patient's losing a bit of reflex, their vision's not great. So there can be other factors involved, but it's something that may make our minds start to think about that there may be a dementia process.
Gary's online in Glenferrie. G'day, Gary. How are you?
Good. How are you going?
Yeah, we're well, thanks. Can we give you any advice or can you give us some insight into how you're dealing with this?
Yeah, just a question. I've always had a bad memory. And now that I'm getting into my late 60s, you know, I'm finding it more difficult to, you know, I remember names. I know where I am all the time, but just trying to remember certain things is quite difficult. Does that mean I have dementia?
Well, look, it's Mark here, Steve.
Yep.
Mark. I don't think you would be. You should be unduly concerned. Depending on what it is you're trying to remember, but if in fact you're bothered by memory, but in fact it doesn't impact. In other words, you feel you're bothered by the memory, but in all reality, you've never forgotten your keys left behind. You've never left your car in a car parking lot more than once, and I've done that, and not remembered where it was. Those repeated abnormalities of memory, change in behaviour, and actual difficulties that impact on day-to-day life are the things that are more of a concern. Having said that, then you need to be aware that there are lots of reasons why someone's memory might not be as good as it was. So poor sleep, mood disturbance, a lot on your plate, other chronic conditions, diabetes, are all reasons, if it's not well controlled, all reasons why one's memory might not be as good as it was before. And those are the real challenges in general practice about trying to make a diagnosis. I think my job, Steve, is easy as a specialist because the GPs have done all the hard work for me.
So it would sound to me, Mark and Damien, that for someone like Gary, and Gary's still on the line there, that just might be natural ageing process, right?
Well, it might be, but what we would normally say is that there isn't... there's a change in the normal aging. There is a change in the slight change in the speed with which information is processed. So that's the speed with which you think, but not to a great degree. And we can measure these things. So we talk about a variance from average. So like you do on an exam, it's a number of standard deviations away. But that's about all that happens. Actually losing information and not being able to lay down new information is not part of normal ageing.
Gary, would you talk to your GP about that? Do you feel that concerned about it?
Well, actually, after talking to you now, I'm actually not that concerned about it because eventually I always find things. Mm. It's just that sometimes I look at someone and I can't remember their name, but when I walk away from them, it comes into my mind. So from what you're saying, that could be just a natural ageing process.
Damien or Mark?
Yeah, I absolutely agree that it could be a normal ageing process. If you presented to me, Gary, with symptoms like that, I'd certainly sort of explore other issues. I'd explore, as Mark said, whether there's any chronic conditions. I'd look at what medications that you've been on. And if I still thought there may be an issue, I'd probably start some investigations just to make sure that we're not dealing with an early dementia process. But it sounds in your case, Gary, that it's probably unlikely, but there are things that a GP would probably start to do to make sure that it isn't anything more than just an ageing process.
Go and have a chat to your GP, Gary, would perhaps be the best advice. This is our Memory Health Show, brought to you by our great sponsors, Suvenade. We have Associate Professor Mark Yates with us and Dr. Damien Flanagan. I guess if I turn up at the pantry in McKinney, kitchen and I open the door and I don't remember what I've gone there for, that might ring an alarm bell for me, right?
It probably may if you've done that three or four times, and more importantly,
I haven't yet.
And more importantly, is you've gone into the pantry when you're trying to cook pasta, but you've pulled out rice and you've actually washed the rice and put it in the rice cooker.
Okay.
And you've gone that far down the line without self-prompting, and this isn't the first time that you were going to cook something and you've ended up with cooking something completely different. And I think those are the sorts of what we call activities of daily living that Damien was talking about, when those sorts of things that are normally done by an individual and the other member of the family is needing to remind, prompt, and often do something else is when you'd have an obvious problem. But there are times when patients have got what we call mild cognitive impairment, where they're bothered by their memory symptoms, but they don't have objective evidence of any change. That's an opportunity, as we've just mentioned, to really look at some of the risk factors for going on to develop memory thinking problems, real ones with dementia, things like obesity, poor management of hypertension, lack of exercise, depression, and also just protecting those synapses, which is where Suvinate has a role.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Suvinate in just a second. 16 to 10, Australia 2 for 177, I should point out, with Aaron Finch on 95. Sharon's been good enough to call us. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, hey, Stephen and Doctor. Look, this has been going on for a while with my mum. Last night was a perfect example. My husband rang her to chat to Dad, and she said, oh, Dad's been rushed to hospital, like, once again. And anyway, she, cut a long story short, she rang me today and said, oh, Sharon, just letting you know that Dad's been rushed to hospital yesterday. And she completely forgot that we'd spoke the night before about why Dad's in hospital with angina. And, my biggest question is, would she be in denial about even having this?
That's a good question. We're not in the business of obviously long distance diagnosis, but that doesn't sound great, does it, guys?
No, look, there's no doubt that that could be one of the early signs that there could be a cognitive problem or some dementia. And I think being in denial is a very common thing. I mean, patients often have some insight, particularly in the early stages, that they have an issue and will try and hide it. They'll make excuses for it. And they don't want the family or anyone else to be concerned about it. So when they realise they've made mistakes or it's brought to their attention, they'll try and cover it up. But I think it's the role of family and loved ones and carers to perhaps bring the issue up, particularly with a healthcare provider, and see whether or not there's something that can be done about that.
Great advice. More calls in just a moment. We've got Associate Professor Mark Yates with us and Dr. Damien Flanagan.
And now on Nights with Steve Price, the Memory Health Show, brought to you by Suvinate. See memorydrink.com.au for more information.
Steve Smith in, Australia 2 for 180, Aaron Finch on 97, Khawaja made 23. We've got Mark Yates, Associate Professor, consultant physician in geriatric medicine with us, and general practitioner Dr. Damien Flanagan. To you, Associate Professor Yates, Mark, Suvinate, we talk about our great sponsors, Suvinate. Explain to us when you can start to use that and how it helps.
Well, Suvinate's a medical food which really provides the building blocks for the synapses in the brain. The synapses are the connections between nerve cells which help them communicate between one another. And so the Suvinate is a product which has been very interestingly produced so that you can swallow the product and it will provide those building blocks directly to the brain, which you can't do by just eating food. And what we do know is that as we get older, our liver gets smaller. But we also know in mild cognitive impairment, which is this condition which isn't quite dementia, but we think it at least about 60% of that population with mild cognitive impairment will go on to get a dementia in 12 months, that there is high turnover of those synapses, usually because of some inflammatory reaction like amyloid and other things which can produce that. So not only is the brain chewing up its synapses, but the liver's not producing the building blocks. So that's why it's thought to have a benefit. And interestingly, the data published or released, not published yet, but released at a conference in May of this year, suggests that memory was better after using Cervinate for 3 years.
And if you've not been diagnosed with early onset dementia, you could still start to use that already. So you can get it, use it to help you before you might end up with some of the symptoms, right?
Well, that is if you've got mild cognitive impairment, yep, which is definable. We don't know. There's no real evidence to say that if you've got no problems with your memory and think it's going to make any difference, and I don't think I would advise that.
No. Okay. Suvenaid, you can look up more information on that at suvenaid.com.au. Jeanette in Church Point. Hello, Jeanette.
Oh, hi, Steve.
Hi. We've got Mark with us as well as Damien. Go ahead.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen. Look, I just wanted to make a couple of quick points because I'm sure a lot of people are probably trying to get on this evening. My mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 4.5 years ago, but it wasn't memory that I noticed initially. It was in relation to counting money. She just couldn't get in her head that she was paying $8,500 for a cruise rather than $800. And it wasn't a matter of forgetting it. It was she just couldn't get it through her mind, the difference.
Mark, is that common?
Yeah, Jeanette, that's not uncommon. I actually don't ever use the term dementia in the early parts of my discussion with families. I talk about memory and thinking difficulties, just so it's clear that we're actually talking about memory and thinking difficulties, and calculation is one of the thinking difficulties associated with Alzheimer's disease and the other dementias, and behavioural change. People can become quite anxious for no obvious reason in early Alzheimer's or mild cognitive impairment. In other words, what happens is they're a bit aware that they're not quite holding everything together, and that generates increased anxiety. So your mum's problem's not uncommon.
How's she going now, Jeanette?
Oh, look, Steve, it's very sad. That was the other thing that I wanted to say, that it's really difficult for families. Mm. And all I would say to anyone who is listening to this, please support the primary carers, because our parents, if it's our parents, they've looked after us and they deserve to be supported by all of the family and not just one or two people to get through this time in their lives.
Jeanette, I absolutely agree with that. The carer is the person which eventually holds a lot of the burden themselves, and they need a lot of support. Initially, when you've got someone that you're caring for, that person is relatively independent. But as the dementia worsens, the carer's load or stress starts to get quite heightened. And as a GP, the carer actually becomes as much of a need for us to manage as the patient themselves.
Yeah, so that's absolutely true.
What do you find hardest, Jeanette?
The repetition, constant repetition. When you really don't want to spend a lot of time with them because it's just the same question over and over again. And it's the fact, the lack of dignity. Mm. People who have been very busy and active and then needing help with basic hygiene and daily living, that I wouldn't like it to happen to me. And I think the conversation in relation to Suvenaid is really interesting.
Well, we really appreciate your call. I mean, because it's going to help a lot of people just to have this discussion, Jeanette. So thanks a lot for ringing us. Elizabeth's in Maroubra. How are you, Elizabeth?
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, I'm wanting to just make an inquiry about and even raise it, because a lot of people are not even aware of it, that alcohol can give dementia. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, certainly, Elizabeth. There's no doubt that alcohol is not good for your brain. We know it's a toxin, and
constant and high levels of alcohol can produce a dementia called Korsakoff's dementia, which is associated with a particular suite of symptoms, which we can identify as specialists as separating it out from Alzheimer's disease or vascular dementia or Lewy body dementia. It's unfortunately quite common, and it's certainly on my list of more common conditions. And often, in fact, when we see patients, and people think that older people don't drink, but they do. They're like the rest of us, and they don't change. Just as you're old doesn't mean you don't choose to have a brandy or four at night. So we're very conscious of the impact of alcohol, and I would inquire with all my patients, and I'm sure Damien does the same, about their alcohol intake, because often that's one of the ways we can improve memory and thinking very quickly.
Is that one of the questions, is it, Damien?
Yeah, absolutely. And often what they tell you, you can probably double that, and it's probably closer to the truth.
Yeah, it's like when your GP used to ask you if you smoked a cigarette, and of course you'd actually halve it. You wouldn't really tell him exactly how many cigarettes a day you were having, would you?
Absolutely.
Oh, it's great to get those calls. We've got plenty more there. We'll have to get those. We'll get some numbers and ask those people to call us back next week. But, I mean, you can just sense there, Mark and Damien, that once people feel that they're comfortable to come on the line and talk to us on air about it, it's going to help a hell of a lot of people. So thank you both for coming in. Associate Professor Mark Yates, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Steve.
And our general practitioner tonight, Dr. Damien Flanagan. Great advice from you, Damien. Thank you making the effort to come into the studio.
Thank you.
Good on you. Thank you both. That's our Memory Health Show for Suvenaid.
Celebrating Origin 3 with a beautiful bundle of wine from Molly's Cradle. This exclusive Molly's bundle includes the new release 2019 Sauvignon Blanc and Premium Cradle Cab Sav plus chockies and other goodies valued at over $125. Online, $59.99 with free delivery in the Sydney metro area. This exclusive Molly's online offer must end at full time tonight. Go to mollyscradle.com.au for this beautiful bundle of wine while stocks last.